Okay. Well, Sabbath blessings, everybody. If you can kneel where you're at, please do so. We're going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you, we worship you, we trust you, and we love you. We thank you for guiding us in every step of life. Even when we don't realize you're guiding us, we thank you for doing that. Because we can look back and see your hand move in our lives, and we didn't realize it was happening at the time. Thank you for that hedge of angels that you always have about us, especially as we sleep, when we're our most vulnerable. Thank you for blessing all those on our prayer list with answered prayer, especially those that are lost and those that are in need of physical healings. And we thank you for the miracles in that respect, too. You keep showing your hand, Father, and we keep praising your name. So we thank you for doing that. So it gives us more opportunities to glorify you. Father, we pray for the latter rain so that we can have that faith that glorifies you. We want to be able to see the dead raised, the sick healed, mountains moved, only if it means you are glorified. And thank you also, Father, for brightening my tongue and any tongue that may speak or text or whatever it is in the online. And we thank you again for that technology that blesses us, that ability to share around the world, because you have us strategically scattered throughout the world where it's a little difficult to have home churches when there's no one around you. So thank you for allowing us to at least come together in this manner. Thank you again for forgiving us of our sins and cleansing us from unrighteousness. And for blessing all those that help us do this work, physically, spiritually, and financially, we pray that you bless them in the same way. We thank you for all these things, in Jesus' name. Amen. And then amen. Okay. All right, we're still in the book. We're on page 171. Last day events. No, you went to 13. We're not ready for 13 yet. Go back one. It's the next. Because I had to put a new, I put a new chapter in this week. Because we might finish this chapter today. F2. Yeah, F2. That'll get it. That way everybody in the room can see where we're at. This is last day events. This is not the little last day events that you get from the general conference, where it's only a few pages. This is the one that Light Ministries compiled. And it's a huge book, as many of you know, but for the new folks, it's 8.5 by 11, you know, the book. And I think it's over 300 pages. Let's see. No, it's 250 pages, and we're on page 171. So the chapter that we're in, the next chapter, by the way, is called The End Time. So that one's going to be a bit intense. But the one we're in now, I can't remember the name of it. If Josh just goes back one page, he'll be able to find it. Just scroll up to the top. Oh, wow. Closing struggle, yeah, and then just click the... and then hit F2, so everybody... I'm overdriving the mic. That's what I thought. That's what I asked everybody. Is it too loud? No, you knock it down a spot down there in the room, right there.
Oh, here.
Just one. Is it okay now? Or, because I don't know if I'm overdriving. I can't hear myself. Is it okay now? Hit that refresh. Hit the refresh over there. Okay. It's okay now? Okay, now I'm good?
Okay.
Maybe it's because I'm walking far away from the antenna. I'm over here now, and you're probably picking me up on the other mic too, the floor mic, so that when we sing. All right, we're on page 171, manuscript 21, May 17th, 1909. It says, "Very soon, the strife and oppression of foreign nations will break forth with an intensity that you do not now anticipate. Your opponents will make statements about your work that are false. Do not repeat their statements, but hold to your assertions of the living truth. and angels of God will open the way before you. We have a great work to carry forward, and we must carry it in a sensible way. Let us never get excited or allow evil feelings to arise. Those who have departed from the faith will come to our congregations to divert our attention from the work that God would have done. You cannot afford to turn your ears from the truth to fables. Do not stop to try to convert the one who is speaking words of reproach against your work, but let it be seen that you are inspired by the Spirit of Jesus Christ and angels of God will put into your lips words that will reach the hearts of opposers. If these men persist, one of the reasons I think she's the Lord's having her share this is because of debaters are not allowed in heaven. If you look in 1 Corinthians 6, I believe it goes into a long list of people that are not allowed. And one of them is, of course, debaters. I mean, they'll come up and they'll try to fight over the law. As we understand in Titus chapter 3, that's not wise to do. We should not have needless arguments over the law. I mean, that's just, I mean, back in the apostles' days, you know, when they were walking the earth, everybody, Christians and Jews alike, understood the eternity of the Ten Commandments. It didn't matter, you know, before or after Messiah's arrival, they were still, they're set in stone. They're eternal, the law of God. And so that's when I said something about foolish arguments about the law in Titus chapter 3:10, because it was just something that, you know, it was just foolishness to even consider something, you know, to argue about something like that. It was just like arguing about something like gravity really doesn't work, you know, like when I drop this apple, it's not going to hit the ground kind of a thing, you know. It's just foolishness to even think of stuff like that. Anyway, getting back, if these men persist in pressing their way in, those who are of sensible mind in the congregation will understand that yours is a higher standard. So speak that it will be known that Jesus is speaking through you. In other words, don't let them get your blood up, because they will try. That's one of the methods that I found for so many years dealing with the Catholics. And now that for the last 5 years, I think, I've been dealing with the SDA people, and they're starting to use the same methods that the Catholics do. You know, the hatred, the insults, and the threats. I haven't gotten any death threats from any SDAs yet, but I have been threatened with, you know, jail time and lawsuits and stuff like that. And I'm not even I don't understand why they're going after me. There's guys that preach a lot more in regards to exposing the SDA church than I do. You know, I'm a little guy in that respect as far as I'm concerned. I concentrate mostly on what's going on from Rome, but hey, if the devil sees a threat, he's going to go after it. So praise the Lord. You know, I love ruffling his feathers. You know, because it proves the work is effective. It's a threat. So, anyway, continuing, Manuscript 85, August 21st, 1909. It says, time is passing. Satan is boasting to his evil agencies that he will take possession of the world, and he encourages them to work through every possible means for the accomplishment of this purpose. Let us not think that we can pass through this world doing just as we please and yet be accepted by God as followers of his Son. The gates of the city of God will never be thrown open to those who have not lifted the cross and followed after Christ in self-denial and self-sacrifice. And one of the reasons self-denial and self-sacrifice is so important, that's one of the main areas the devil attacks. The flesh is his playground. This is one of the reasons, well, I would think the main reason, directly after Jesus was baptized, he went into the desert for 40 days to deny the flesh, to put it into subjection. His appetite, it has been said, I can't remember exactly where it has been said, but if you can defeat the appetite, all the other sins of life are much easier. If you can defeat the appetite, because a lot of, and a lot of people say, well, okay, I don't have a problem with appetite, I'm not even overweight. Well, do you drink coffee? Do you eat candy bars and, you know, stuff like, you know, you may not be overweight, which can hide the fact that you have a problem with your appetite. You may be eating things you shouldn't eat, like pork, for that matter, or lobster, or snails and stuff that you shouldn't eat. That, yes, they can be cooked in a tasteful way, like Cajun catfish and stuff like that. I used to love that. I used to love lobster before I was a Christian, or even after I was a Christian. Not realizing, of course, until, I mean, I left the Catholic Church, and 10 years later I found out the truth about the mark of the beast and everything, so I was a Christian, but I was not very well educated in respect in the meat. And I praise the Lord for his long suffering and his winking at my times of ignorance. eating these unclean foods are just as bad as smoking a cigarette, I guess. You know, it's a slow killer. And sometimes it can be a quick killer if you're allergic. And in today's world, the stuff that they're putting in the animals and or the stuff that's in the sea, you know, even the fish, even the clean foods now are dangerous because of what's going on in the world. And Sister White did have, I don't know exactly what the quote is, but she did state that those who are seeking to be translated, as was Elijah or Enoch, you know, the 144,000, you know, is what I'm talking about here, those who seek to be translated into that realm, or, you know, to be part of the 144,000, will not be flesh eaters. Okay, that's good. All right, we had a little bit of a tech problem here, but okay. So, getting back. There is a world to be saved. What are you doing to cooperate with Christ? Are you using your opportunities and advantages and means in winning souls to Christ? You may say, I'm not a minister and therefore cannot preach the truth. You may not be a minister in the generally accepted sense of the word. You may never be called to stand in the desk. Nevertheless, you can be a minister for Christ. We went over a couple of quotes in this regards too a couple of weeks ago, I remember. We're all ministers of Christ. We all have talents that others can't. Like there's things that I can do that you can't and vice versa. I mean, there's a lot of people that I know that aren't preachers that could do things that just boggles my mind. And that can be used, those kind of talents can be used, of course, to further the message. Continuing, it says, many of us have neglected to study the scriptures. We have failed to develop such characters as Christ can use. He calls upon us individually to take up our appointed work wherever we are. Put away the foolish reading matter and study the Word of God. And this is one of the problems that, I like to keep my kids away from novels and stuff like that, because before we came into this truth, we had seen loved ones that got into novels and romance novels and stuff like that too. And it'll draw you away from Christ. I mean, that's what Hollywood is designed for. Before the novels came out, before all the movie pictures and stuff like that came out, some of the most exciting and most amazing stories that you could read were found in Scripture. And so what the devil did is he came up with ways to make other stories a lot more exciting. And then when, of course, our technology came to where, and our technology is not any better than technology that was 2 or 3, 4 or 5 or 6,000 years ago. You know, of course, they didn't have computers back then, but they could do things back then we can't do. I mean, look at the pyramids, the way they were created, you know, and the way they, without laser beams, they were making things so perfectly square and moving things without, like that one guy that died recently that had that rock garden at his home. They're trying to figure out how he was able to move big, giant, mammoth boulders and make this garden in his backyard. And he never released his secrets before he died. And so the technology back then is, you know, similar today to as it is today. The difference is they didn't use a lot of, you know, the silicon chips and whatnot. But the novels and then when we got the videos, you know, like you watch a video and with all the shoot 'em up, bang 'em up stuff, or even just the special effects and stuff like that, that makes, when you get into that, or the video games, and you get all these wonderful things pumping into your eyeballs, you know, watching on TV. Now when you open up the Bible, it's mind-numbingly boring to you. And that's the devil's plan. He tries to take the truth, which is exciting to those of us that have Christ within, and to make it boring to our loved ones and those that we're trying to share with, because they're so wrapped up in Hollywood or video games or whatever the case may be. The Bible actually becomes boring because of what the devil preaches instead. Okay. All right, getting back and finishing up this quote. It says, commit its precious promises to memory, speaking of the Word of God, of course, so that when we shall be deprived of our Bibles, we may still be in possession of the Word of God. And that day is coming. You know, I can always, you know, like you try to look into the future and see what kind of a life will have, you know, when they start enforcing the mark of the beast and stuff like that. And some of us may end up in jail. And those of us that, you know, are part of the Gideon band and have to sit in jail during the plagues or whatever, wherever we're at, they may take our Bible, well, they'll definitely take our Bibles away, or they'll give you your Bibles and then take your glasses away. But there is a way that you can read the Bible without glasses. It's a pretty neat little trick. I never knew that it was possible. But all you need is a piece of paper and a little hole in the piece of paper. You look through the little hole and you can read. It's amazing how that works. It makes your eye focus a little bit differently. I don't know how it works actually, but the thing is, it's better to commit them to memory, as she says here. Some of us do have trouble memorizing, yes. And that's, you know, in my case, I have a little difficulty memorizing, and I'm hoping and praying that that changes soon. But I am a firm believer in John 14:26, and I have seen it work in the past where, because I have read his word, it will come to mind when it is needed. And so I praise his name for that, because I've seen it happen. This last one here in this chapter is Manuscript 61, September 17th, 1909. It says, "The perils of the last days are upon us, and at this time we are each determining what our destiny for eternity shall be. Individually, we are to form characters that will stand the test of the judgment." It's like she said before, and the scriptures confirm, you have to be a saint down here before you can be a saint up there. When you come out of the grave, if you are to die before he splits the eastern sky, you're coming out with the same character as you went in. Your body will be different, of course. You'll all be healed if you have any problems, and if you're old, you'll be young again, but your character will be the same. So your character has to change, because certain characters are just plain not allowed in heaven. It'll just cause problems, and you'll be miserable in heaven because of your character. You'll desire certain things that heaven just does not allow. Going on, it says, individually we are to give in the church. We are an example of faithfulness and consecration. The ministry of the world is designed to prepare a people to stand in the times of temptation in which we live. And church members are to cooperate with the work of ministry by revealing in the life the principles of the truth, that no word should be spoken or act performed that will lead into false paths or create a condition of things that God cannot approve. And you also have to keep in mind that no man's an island, because this is not only for self or individual, you know, education. It's also for those that you affect. You know, we always hear the young people, especially today, that say, you know, I'm not harming anybody. It's just me. You know, like especially the guys that like to do the drugs and stuff like that. I'm not affecting anybody but myself. Because, yeah, what about your mom, your dad, your brothers, your sisters, your friends, those people that love you? They're seeing you destroy yourself. That affects them. And it may affect them negatively, too. Like your little brother or little sister might go, I want to be just like him. Then they start getting into it, thinking it's cool to be high on drugs or whatever. Going on, it says, there has been revealed to me that the grave dangers we shall meet in these last days of peril and temptation. Our only reliable light and guide for this time is the Word of God. We must take this Word as our counselor and faithfully follow its instructions, that we shall find that we are being controlled by our own peculiar traits of character, and our lives will reveal the selfish work that will be hindrance and not a blessing to our fellow men. We need to go to the Word of God for counsel for every step we take, for self is ever ready to strive for the mastery. And I can attest, I mean, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, so we understand that you got to stay in the Scriptures, because that's how your faith is, you know, that's how you feed your faith. And one of the blessings that I have seen over the years is I always used to have a problem with a short wick with my anger. And I read a while ago where Sister White said that 1 Corinthians chapter 13 should be read each and every morning, you know, at least once a day. And that's what I do every day. Before I read my Bible, I get into that, and it has calmed me down over the years. It has gotten me to a point where I don't snap as easy. My wick is a lot longer. And it is a blessing. It does change your character. The Word is that powerful. Going on, it says, it is the duty of those who stand as leaders and teachers of the people to instruct church members how to labor in missionary lines, and then to see in operation the great grand work of proclaiming widely this message, which must arouse every unworked city before the crisis shall come, when, through the working of satanic agencies, the doors now open to the message of the third angel shall be closed. The judgments of God are being stayed, that the voice of truth may be heard in its simplicity. And that is a blessing as well, because what we're doing now, you have the opportunity to share your faith now, where it's still legal. We see the warning signs all around us. Like, for example, my newsletter this month was about Georgetown University, which is a Jesuit university in Washington, D.C., which pumps out politicians like crazy. William Jefferson Clinton, a short-robed Jesuit, was in fact educated in Georgetown University. But they just put out, they made a public statement about 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, where they stated evangelical Christians are not allowed in their church anymore, university anymore. They're banned in all the universities that Georgetown is affiliated with, because they're too evangelical, because Georgetown University is pushing the ecumenical movement of Antichrist, because it's a Jesuit or Vatican-run institution. And it's already gotten to the point where it's legal for a Muslim to do something that a Christian would get jailed for. Or it's legal for the Hindus or the Zoroastrians or Buddhists, you know, whatever, to do things that they have their legal right. You have to protect their legal rights to do these things. Whereas if a Christian was in the same area, they would be jailed. And we've got all sorts of articles in respect to that, you know. And this is one of the reasons that they're banning them from certain universities, because they're trying to keep everybody under one roof. It's just like the Tower of Babel. We need a global group hug, they're saying. And your God is as good as my God. It's just like the song from John Lennon, and that's why they got the song starting every UN meeting, whenever the United Nations meetings meet, or they did that a few years ago, I don't know if they're still doing it now, they would have the song Imagine played before they start the meeting, like it's a prayer or something, you know, where John Lennon says, imagine no heaven above us, no hell below us, you know, where we can all live as one, and he affected a lot of people with that song, and so that's what they're pushing, and they think that Christianity does not allow for such a thing. And it's true, we don't. You know, the fact is, they're in danger, and we're trying to show, using love, that they're in danger. But they look at that as a threat. Well, the devil looks at that as a threat for obvious reasons. And somehow he's able to twist the minds of the people that he manipulates to make them think that we're the dangerous ones, when they're the ones that have the guns. You know, that never made sense to me. They're the ones that have the guns, and we're the dangerous ones, you know. Anyway, getting back, it says, let those who have a part in this sacred work be wide awake and each endeavor to labor in God's appointed way. In God's appointed way, it should be, I think. There should be an apostrophe S there. Let none set up as the Lord's way the way of human devisings. The righteous judgments of God with their weight of final decision are coming upon the land. Do not hover over the churches and repeat over and over again the same truths to the people, while the cities are left in ignorance and sin, unwarned and unlabored for. Soon the way will be hedged up and these cities will be closed to the gospel message. And so this is one of the things I like about the audio chat, and this is what made me so excited when I found Fire Talk 6 or 7 years or 8 years ago. People were coming up that were Sunday keepers that decided to start keeping Sabbath because of the message that we were sharing in the Fire Talk rooms, the audio chats. And all of them that would come, all of them that had enough zeal to come forward and thank us, you know, for the message, would say something to the effect, I've never heard this before. I never knew these things were in Scripture. Now, like she's saying here, we could sit here and constantly preach over and over and over again to ourselves, and that's just a waste of time. We've got a job to do. There's people out there that need to hear this message. And this is one of the reasons for today's sermon and for the next few weeks. It may seem repetitive to some of you, but there are new people in the room that haven't heard it before, and it's about the prophecies of the last days. We need to be educated in that respect so that when we are out on the street or in this corner market buying something, we can bring it up in conversation. and talk about certain things that are happening in current events and get the conversation going to a point where the people ask you questions about prophecy. That seems to be the best way that I found on the street to get people to ask you a question. Mention something that happened in the news and say how, wow, this is something that actually the scriptures was talking about would happen. And then wait for them to respond. And sometimes they'll ask a question and then you can start preaching, because they won't tell you to shut up 9 times out of 10 because they asked you the question. When you come up and start preaching to them, they go, look, I don't want to hear it. You know? But if you get them to ask you the question, then they're stuck. You got to listen. All right, continuing. It says we must expend less means in the few places where the message has been quite fully preached, that we may go out into other places where the warning has not been given, and where men and women are ignorant of the great crisis that is about to come to all who live upon the earth. The warning message for this time is not being given earnestly in the great business world. Day after day, the centers of commerce and trade are thronged with men and women who need the truth for this time, but who gain no saving knowledge of its precious principles because earnest, persevering efforts are not put forth to reach the class of people where they are. The world is preparing for the closing work of the third angel's message. The truth is now to go forth with a power that it has not known for years. The message of present truth is to be proclaimed everywhere. We must be aroused to give this message with a loud voice, as symbolized in the 14th chapter of Revelation. There is danger of our accepting the theory of the truth without accepting the great responsibility which it lays upon every recipient. My brethren, show your faith by your works. The world must be prepared for the loud cry of the third angel's message, a message which God declares shall be cut short in righteousness. I guess we'll end it there for this week. We'll pick it up next week at chapter 13. I have a burden for something to this effect too. I want to go out in the area where I live, but I also don't want to be foolish in that respect either. And some of you understand what I'm talking about. You know how a message like this has a tendency to anger people. I remember the first time I came to this knowledge of what the real mark of the beast was, and I shared it with a friend that was a Christian. Remember? Tom, his name was. I'm not going to mention the last name. And I was so excited about it that my book, not the People Get Ready book, but the Second Window book, which is a little difficult to read because it was the way I used to write many, 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 many years. I started it when I was a Catholic. I did this section 2 after I left the Catholic Church, and then section 3 was after I found out what the real mark of the beast was. And I wrote section 3 in one night from all the stuff that I was investigating and finding, and then I shared it with that friend of mine, and the next day he called the police and said I had my children in cages feeding them raw meat. And so, yes, I know a message like this can anger people. And we had police in our living room. They were going through all our cupboards. I mean, they went. They had a, you know, it was a rough day for us. But I know that this angers them. And so my best advice would be share your faith, yes, and share it in the area you live, but not right near your home. You know, I think, and I know the Lord will protect. And eventually the people that you're sharing it with will find out where you're living anyway, so it doesn't matter, so the Lord will protect. But to slow down the attack and give you more of an advantage and have more people affected, so, you know, we all know there's strength in numbers. I would like to go to towns that are 30, 40, 50 miles from my home and start doing the street preaching and passing out the tracts and whatnot like I do now. Whenever I go towns that are far away from me, I'm dropping tracts everywhere, every chance I get. And because it's best to do it in that way, and hopefully if you find someone, they'll come into your home and, you know, take part in your home church service. So we haven't done that yet where we live now, because we've only been living here like 3 or 4 months, so I do plan to start doing that soon. But anyway, we'll be back in a few minutes for the church service.